Today, we are finishing up our series called This Is Us. It's our final seventh week, and we've identified that there is a difference between someone who says they follow God and someone who actually follows Jesus. And we call someone who acts in a way that is different from what they say a hypocrite. Hypocrite, that's right. And the goal for our church is that we would be filled with Jesus followers who are living their life the right way as Jesus intended for it to be. And how do we know what the right way is? We ask Jesus himself. You see, Jesus gave us instructions on what his followers should be doing, how they should be thinking, how they should be acting, what they should be like. And Jesus was saying, this is us. And he gave this message on the side of a mountain. And this message is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapter 5. 6 and 7. In week 1, we found that that Jesus' followers should stand out, that we shouldn't be camouflaged, but we should stand out with our happiness, like salt is to food, like light to darkness, living an open life where our actions speak louder than our words. In week 2, we found out that Jesus' followers, they raise the bar. See, while we're on this earth, there's always something that we have to grow in. To get from here to there, we have to take steps, and there's no arriving that we've arrived until we actually see Jesus. We can all grow. In week 3, we found out that Jesus' followers, they pray right. And Jesus showed us that praying isn't about special words. It's not about repetition. It's not for show. It's simply a conversation between you and God. He gave an example, not a script, when he prayed what we know as the Lord's Prayer. In week 4, we found out that Jesus' followers have perspective. And he challenged us to not worry about our basic needs. But we got to change our perspective to focus on God's kingdom first, and then he'll provide what we need. In week 5, we found out that Jesus' followers behave. And when addressing our behavior, Jesus specifically chose to focus on how we judge others and realizing that the level that we judge others is the level that we will be judged ourselves. And this is also where we learned about the scripture that's commonly referred to as the Golden Rule, which says that do unto others as you'd want them to do for you. And last week, week 6, we found out that Jesus' followers, they do something. We choose the right path, we watch what we're taught, and we show that we are growing by the fruit that we produce. And for today, for this final week of This Is Us, we'll be finding out that Jesus' followers, they build wisely. They build wisely. You'll turn into your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. This is where our passage is going to be for today. We're going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, NLT. So you can use your app on your phone, and you can change it at the top to the translation of NLT so you can follow along. When you came in today, you should receive the bulletin, and inside your bulletin, there is some message notes where you can follow along with today's message. The answers are going to be up on the screen as we go along. If anyone did not receive a bulletin, if you want to raise your hand right now, there'll be someone who will come bring you one. Okay. Matthew chapter 7. In this, Jesus is wrapping up his message of the Sermon on the Mount, and he decides to give an illustration to put all of what he said into perspective. So we're reading chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, and it says this. So then, everyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a wise man. He built his house on the rock. The rain comes down, the water rises. The winds blow and beat against the house, but it does not fall. It is built on the rock. But everyone who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. He builds his house on sand. The rain comes down, the water rises. The winds blow and beat against that house, and it falls with a loud crash. Let's pray. God, I ask that for the next few moments that you would be with us, that you would help us as we're challenged by your word, that you speak to both our heart and to our mind. Lord, don't let us leave the same as when we came in today. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. I have to admit to you that I love construction. I think I've said this before, but I might be addicted to construction. It's so exciting to see construction happening. I cannot wait to see what's being built somewhere. And that's one of the things that I love about Sun Prairie is that there's construction happening everywhere. There's roads and there's stores and there's houses and there's apartments and there's highways. And I like the sounds of construction right from my own house. I can open the door and you know what you hear? The beep, beep, beep of backing up a truck somewhere. They must be backing up all the time. Maybe they're just driving in reverse because it just goes on and on, or there's just that many trucks backing up. You know, my daughter, when we first moved into our house, she said, "Daddy, I wake up early every single morning." I'm like, "Why are you waking up? You don't have to wake up this early." She said, "Dad, I know it's time to wake up when I start hearing the loud Mexican music playing outside from the Framers." She's like, "I don't understand what they're singing, but it sounds exciting." Now, they're about to start framing a house right next door to us, to our side. This was across the street, across from her window, and she's excited that her brothers are going to get to experience the music now because their window faces the new house. But, you know, I like the possibilities. Like, what are we going to get next? You know, the newness, the freshness. And I like subscribing to there's Facebook groups where they'll tell you, there's somebody who's on the city council who shares. Like, you ask, "What's being built on the corner of this street and this street?" He'll respond and he'll say, "This is what's being built." And it's really cool to hear what they're doing. And one time I was just so curious because they started construction right behind the Pick and Save. That's right over here. And so I saw there was a couple of guys that looked like they were in charge, standing around looking at people work. And so I drove up to them and yelled out from my window, "Hey, what are you building?" And they said, "They're building an auto parts store," which that's exactly what we need in Sun Prairie. Another one. But I like the newness and the freshness. And, you know, when there's a lot of construction like this going on, there's an awareness that there is a master plan. Someone is deciding what goes in and where it goes and how it affects everything else. And when they approve that this building is going to be here, it affects the traffic system and affects the roads, and they make plans and they adjust accordingly. And when a town experiences growth and construction like Sun Prairie is, it communicates something. Life. There's something happening here. This community is alive. It has potential, and it's something that you want to be a part of. The final part of what it means to follow Jesus or be a Jesus follower is when he says that we build wisely. And Jesus decides to use a construction illustration to describe what to do with all the information that he just gave us. And when he shares this illustration, he shares that you are building, you are a builder, whether you realize it or not. See, we're all builders. And you may say, "Whoa, Pastor Ryan, I've been told I'm not allowed around power tools for your safety and mine." And no, we don't have tool belts, and we don't have tape measures and saws and hammers and miter saws and all that good stuff, but we are active in building our lives. Your life up to this point is the sum total of all your decisions and the actions that you have taken. And where your life is going is dependent upon the next decision and the next action that you take. You are building your life. And we've just spent 6 weeks learning the right way to follow Jesus. And he doesn't want us to take this lightly. Here's what he has to say. He said, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on." See, right now, you're building your life. You're building your legacy each second, each minute, each hour, each day, each week, each year. And what he was sharing wasn't self-help. It wasn't how to be a better person. He's talking about foundational stuff. The stuff will make you who you are. It changes who you are and what you stand for. How you act, how you respond, how you stand out, how you behave, how you not worry, how you treat each other. Foundational things about what it means to be a Jesus follower. And in this story, Jesus is saying that everyone who hears his words is a carpenter, a builder in their life, like a carpenter who's building a house. Now, in my house, you guys kind of walked through the journey with us as it took, you know, 7 months to build 3 months worth of house. And now we've been on a journey where we've been completing the basement, and I am happy, happy, happy to announce to you guys that by this next Friday, we'll be moving into our basement. Yes. Finally. Whether we're ready for it or not, carpet's going in this week. The plumber's putting the toilets in this week. It's going to be done. And it's been an exciting journey because it started a long time ago where we said, wait, we would never consider a house that only had this much room. And it was a sales guy at William Ryan's who said, hey, but have you considered that maybe you could finish the basement? And look how much house you could have to fit your whole family in. And we're like, never thought about that. And it began a journey that has resulted in us being able to design the basement and have more bedrooms and more bathrooms, and the kids are finally dying for a place to stick all their Legos, and we're glad for them to not be on the dining room table anymore. But construction's fun. You see, the first time I ever stepped down into that basement, I actually snuck into the house. It was under construction, and they didn't have stairs yet, but I just climbed down the wood they had leading down to the basement and took my phone and took the flashlight and just began looking around and seeing the possibilities of what it could be and what does the space feel like. And I'll tell you that what I'm seeing today with an almost 95% complete house basement is exactly what I saw back then. And it's been amazing to see each step, each struggle, each journey, each decision that has got us to that point. And I think Jesus looks at us the same way, and he looks at you and he sees you and he smiles because he can see you for where you're going to be and what you're going to do and what you're going to be like. He's like, yes. And I get to see the journey step by step as you grow, as you make these foundational changes to be doing it the right way. You know, I think we get messed up a lot because we think we know how to do Christianity. We think we know how to do this whole church thing. But if we were really to stop and think about it, everything we think we're supposed to do a lot of time comes from what we hear or see from other people. And our challenge with this series is to listen to the source himself. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus saying, this is really us. This is what we do. The second thing that we can learn from the story is that we will all face storms. You see, there was a builder who built his house on a rock, and there was a builder who built his house on a sandy beach. Both built houses, but did you notice that both faced storms? See, how you build your house doesn't exempt you from storms in your life. And when you're building your life, there is this thought that if I do it the right way, if I follow Jesus and everything, I do everything right, that life is going to be amazing. Life is going to be awesome. It's going to be carefree. Blue skies, 70-degree weather, deer always around our deer stand. Perfect life. But no, this can't be farther from the truth. I don't know, for me, I'm looking at this, I'm saying, wow, I didn't quite realize it. I almost glanced over this every time I've read this story. I didn't quite get that, wow, both the wise builder, the smart builder, and the foolish one are the, as Jesus described it, stupid carpenter. They both built a house, and they both faced storms. Jesus said it himself. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. And if he stopped there, that'd be kind of depressing. But if you were to continue reading that passage where he says, in this world you'll have trouble, he says, take heart, because I've overcome the world. See, whether you follow Jesus or not, your life is going to face all kinds of storms. It will not be all blue skies and calm waters. And you're sitting there saying, thanks, Pastor, for really bumming me out this morning. I'm going to face storms. But here's the truth. How you build your life doesn't affect whether you will have storms in your life. But it does affect how you survive the storms in your life. You see, there was a carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. And Jesus says, the rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. And there was a builder, a carpenter, who built his house on a sandy beach. Probably had a great view. But Jesus said, when a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. If you're facing a storm right now, don't think it weird or odd. No matter what you're doing in your life, you're going to face storms. It's just a given. Life is going to bring storms. But what we can say today is that there's hope. That when we build our life on the foundation of what Jesus was talking about, like he said, I wasn't giving you these words to just be, hey, self-help, just be a better person. He's like, no, I'm giving you words to build your life on. And when you build your life on these words, when the storms come, not if, when the storms come, you're going to make it. Your house is going to still be standing. The third thing that we must grasp that Jesus was telling us with the story is that we choose how we build. Everyone who hears the words of Jesus is a builder. But you can be a wise builder or a foolish builder. In the Message translation, it says a smart carpenter or a stupid carpenter. And I think it's interesting that Jesus is using a builder because if we think about the occupation he had before he started his ministry, he was a carpenter. So he might have known a little bit about what he was talking about. See, the difference between the two is whether we decide to actually do what Jesus has taught when he says, work these words into your life. This is the difference. How do we become one of these wise builders? He says, work these words into your life. That's how you become a smart carpenter. It's not simply wishing for it to happen. So we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and then we had that other holiday that follows quickly after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. And I'm someone who really likes Black Friday. Now, what I like about it is that people go crazy, and it's just kind of fun to watch. And sometimes I just go to the store to see, wow, can you believe they just did that? And I look through all the ads, and I see if there's any good deals or anything. I actually subscribe to an app that's on my phone, and it gives me alerts that, hey, a new ad's been posted. You can find out all the things in advance and even get maps to all the stores of where exactly it is in the store they're going to have the deal. I'm not addicted or anything, okay? And I can resist temptation most of the time. But this year, there was a deal I couldn't resist, a deal that I said, I have got to have that, you see? Best Buy was putting on this doorbuster sale that you could have a 50-inch sharp TV that was 4K that had a built-in Roku smart TV for $179. I'm like, that's an awesome deal. Now, they know what they're doing at Best Buy. And they count that we don't know what we're doing, being the lemmings we are. Because they are smart, and I think, oh, I see that deal. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait till it's Thursday. I'm going to go on bestbuy.com and just buy me a TV, and they'll deliver it next week, and it'll be an amazing deal. And they're like, no, in-store only. So I went to our local Best Buy 2 days in advance to go talk to the manager of the TV department. I was doing my scouting, my research. And I said, so I'm looking at all the TVs here. I want to find this, because they're stacking TVs like everywhere, like to the ceiling. And I'm looking for this particular TV, this 50-inch TV. and I find the stack, and there's stacks everywhere, and the stack of TVs is like this big. I count them. There's only 12. And I said, are there going to be any more than 12? And he's like, nope. That's all there is. It's first come, first serve. I'm like, what time do you guys open? 5 o'clock on Thursday night. How are you going to give them away? Well, people are going to wait in line, and they're going to pass out tickets, and whoever gets those tickets gets those TVs. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to wait in line. I'm going to get one of those tickets. As a matter of fact, I'm going to bring my son with me. I'm going to buy two of them. And I can just imagine what it'd be like to have this amazing deal of a TV. It's going to be a nice TV, but I was also just excited about getting the deal. I was wishing for it to happen. Well, I didn't quite understand my schedule that my wife made for me. That involved her family taking us out of town for Thanksgiving. And she said, don't worry, you can go to Best Buy at 5 o'clock. I'm like, you don't understand, I have to go early. Well, what time do you have to be there? I'm like, as early as possible. She's like, well, we're going to be in Chicago. We're going to watch the Thanksgiving parade, and then we're going to go out to eat there. And then afterwards, we'll drive back to Madison, and you can go to Best Buy. And I'm like, that ain't happening. I want to be in line like at 3 o'clock or earlier, like 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock. Of course, lunch went long. We're still in downtown Chicago, and I'm panicking and sweating because I'm like, I'm not going to get the deal. And so we leave the restaurant, and I proceed over to the nearest Best Buy, which is in downtown Chicago. And there's a line. And I count the people in line, and I'm number 40 in line. I have Randon with me. My wife and my in-laws, they began going to the other Best Buys closest by, and they began seeing how their lines are. We're kind of trying to stake this out, but it's already 3 o'clock. We wait there for about 30 minutes, and the Best Buy guys come out, and they start passing out the tickets. And we're like, wait until they get to us. And they get to near to us, and we're like, so where are the 50-inch TVs? He's like, those were given out a long time ago. I don't even have any TVs left. They've already been sold. And I missed out on getting something that I really wanted. And I have to say that the rest of my Black Friday was just a bummer Eeyore parade, because all I could think about was that I really wanted that TV and I didn't get it. And there's no way to get it. I mean, I looked and I went to the front of the line and I counted all the tickets. And by the 15th person, they had passed out all 12. There was no chance. But just because I wanted that TV didn't mean I would get that TV. I didn't do the work necessary to be first in line. And just because you want a great relationship with God and you want things to work out, just because you want it doesn't mean it's going to happen. You have to do something. You have to take action. And this is what Jesus is saying, the difference between a smart carpenter and a stupid carpenter, between a wise builder and a foolish builder, is that you take these words and you stick them in your heart and you actually do them. Jesus said, if you use my words just in Bible studies and you don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter that built his house on the sandy beach. You've got to put Jesus's teachings into practice. My daughter, she does gymnastics. She practices all the time. And we take every opportunity to give her extra practices because we believe the more practice she has, practice makes. So that's what I told her this weekend. That's why we're making sure she goes to extra practice. And she said, Dad, no, it doesn't. Practice doesn't make perfect, Dad. Perfect practice makes perfect. I'm like, whoa. Whoa. She said, Dad, I could be here for hours and hours and hours at the gym, but if I'm doing it wrong every single time I'm practicing, then I'm going to do it wrong when it comes time for competition. She said, I've got to do it right in the practice in order to do it right when it really counts. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to take these concepts, we've got to take these ideas, we've got to take these things, and we've got to do them right, and we've got to choose to do it now, not wait for later. We've got to put them into practice. This wasn't the only place that Jesus compared being a disciple to, of his, to building a house. You see, in Luke 12, 28 through 30, Jesus gave a very strong statement in regards to choosing to be his disciple. He said this. He said, "Don't begin being my disciple until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.'" You know, that's always a big possibility with lots of construction happening around here, that there could be half-done stuff because they didn't count the cost of what it would take to finish it. And I can tell you, having been the manager of the construction of our basement, this has been my worst fear, my worst nightmare, is that we would do all this work on the basement to not be able to get to the end. That we'd be so close and yet so far. And we did our best to put together a budget. We did our best to pull together the money. We've done our best to manage it well. And at every turn, there seemed to be something that would come up. Something that would cost more, or something unexpected. And I don't know, it seemed like once a week there was some sort of news where it's like, "Oh no, we thought the sheetrock was only going to cost this much and it cost this much. Oh no, we never budgeted for insulation. Oh no, we didn't budget for painting the trim." You see, we've come too far to not finish. And as we've been getting down to the end and we have the final thing scheduled, there's been one looming thing in front of us that has affected us. And that is this category of painting the trim. You see, all the trim gets put on, and that's, we're talking about the baseboards and the casings and the doors. All that stuff gets put on, but then there's a lot of work to finish it. You see, it's got to be puttied, where all the nail holes, all that putty's got to be sanded off. It's got to be caulked along all the cracks so it's all smooth. And once you've got that finished, then you paint it. And only then is it complete. And it's a big project. And as we were coming into last week, we said, "Wow, should we do this ourselves, or we try to find a contractor to do this?" And my wife was convinced. She's like, "Ryan, you can't do it." You see, and part of it was that I am terrible when it comes to caulk. I think there's more caulk on me than gets into the cracks of where it's supposed to go. But I said, "Okay, let me just try. Let me just try this." And so I started out in just one room, and that one room took me 3 days. And we started doing the math and said, "Okay, there are too many rooms calculated to too many days to be able to have this done. To see, it has to be done before the floor goes in this week." So she said, "Go find a contractor." And so we found a contractor. We brought him in. He looked at the place. He's like, "Oh yeah." And he gave us a price that we were expecting to be about right here. And it was, whew, right over here. And I'm like, "Oh, I can't do that." And he's like, "The most I can do is come down to right here." And still, I'm looking at, oh. I said, "Let me talk to my wife, and we'll decide." And we looked at it, and we started counting the cost. But we did it in a way that you probably didn't expect. You see, for most people, it's about whether or not we have the money to do it. And at this point, we've been managing all the pennies down to the end of, can we get in and there still be at least a dollar in the bank account and the basement be done? And technically, with the bid that he gave us, we'd have a dollar in the bank account and the basement would be done. But I said, "Shalee, I want to look at it from a slightly different perspective. And look at it from the standpoint of, what does done mean? You see, when it comes to our basement and the design we have for our family and what we put into it, there's a difference between being livable and being the dream that we originally saw months ago. And the things that we wanted it to look like and what we wanted to be. And as we started looking at that, we saw that, wait, if we make the decision to just finish this up just to get it done and pay this contractor to finish, we give up that, and we give up that, and we give up that. And it's all the neat little things, the nice little things, the things we've been so excited for months and months saying, one day we're going to have that. And when we looked at it that way, of what we'd be giving up in order to pay this guy, that's when we determined that the cost was too great. We counted the cost, and it wasn't about the money. It was about what we were giving up as part of the dream of what we had, the vision of what it would be. And I said that Jesus has a dream for you. He has an idea of what you're going to be like and what you're going to accomplish. But he says, before you even start walking down this road and saying, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to put these words deep into my heart. I'm going to lay them as foundation. I'm going to be a wise builder. He said, wait, count the cost. Do you understand what this is going to be like? So Shalee and I made the decision that we weren't hiring the guy. And it didn't change the fact that tile comes in tomorrow morning and it has to be done. What it did change was how we prioritized this past week and how we prioritize our spare hours and how we mobilize all of our children to take part in this. And I got to teach my kids the last couple days about what man hours are. As one smudged putty and another sanded putty and another swept up, and the hours that they put in multiplied, and we were able to get really far. And now there's a light at the end of the tunnel that we just might finish in time. We might make it. What seemed to be impossible is looking like it's going to be possible, and we're still going to be able to have those cool little nice things that we wanted to have for the kids down there. Changes our perspective. You are a carpenter. You're building your life. You get to choose how you do it. And the question is, are you going to build wisely? Are you going to take everything we've learned, what Jesus said in these three chapters, and are you going to apply it? Are you going to do it? That's why we say this is what makes our church different. This is what we want for our church to be different. That on the door it says that we do something. That means we just don't say, let's argue the finer points of what this theory goes on. Or let's make sure we've learned enough before we tell anybody else about Jesus. No, let's do something. Let's celebrate those who do something. Let's figure out different ways that we can do something. Let's act on what we're doing. Let's practice this. I love hearing what's happening in our life groups, because people are making friends. They're doing something. We build wisely. This is us. Jesus, for 7 weeks, you've been challenging us as the way it's supposed to be. And I pray, Lord, that you would keep reminding us about what it really means to do it the right way. And if we're really to take the time to look at it ourselves, we would be pleasantly surprised about what you require and what you don't. God, you want us to stand out and to be different. You want us to behave. You want us to not worry, to have perspective. You want us to build our lives right. And today, we're challenged by that idea. Whether or not we would be a foolish builder who would hear your words but not really apply it to our lives, say, that's just good to know, but I don't necessarily have to do it. Jesus, you describe that when we do that, it's like building a house on a beach. When the storms come, the house won't be there anymore. But God, you've also painted a different picture for us. That we could be a smart carpenter when we take your words and we put them deep into our lives and we build our life upon it. That when storms come, not if, our life will be on a firm foundation, the rock that is you. So God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to choose wisely today of how we're going to build, that we'd build wisely, that we wouldn't take these last messages and what you shared in the side of a mountain one day as something just to say, that was nice, but to actually take it to heart and to do something about it. Help us to be a church of action. Help us to be a church that is a collection of people who are doing it the right way, the way you intended for it to be. And while every head is bowed and every eye closed, we recognize that there are people who come as part of our church that you're in different places in your life. Some of you, you would say, wow, I built my life a long time ago on the foundation that is Jesus, and I have weathered every storm, and I've made it so far, and I'm going to make it to the end. And that's amazing. But that's not the story for everybody. And I believe it's possible for people to be here who they've been trying to control their lives themselves up to this point, making decisions they thought best, but just to see their life go in ruin when each storm of life would come and knock their house over. You see, without Jesus, that's going to be the story time and time again. The only way to have your life built on a firm foundation is for it to be built on Jesus Christ. And that starts with a relationship with Him. This is not about playing games. It's not about learning something. It's not about singing some songs. It's not being a part of a club. This is a real deal. And it starts with choosing. And what's your choice today? So while nobody's looking around, I want to ask you a question. This is just me and you. And the question is, where are you at right now? Have you decided to make Jesus the main character in your life? To put Him in charge? You see, God loved you so much that He sent His Son to pay the price for you. God knew you were going to mess up before you ever did. He knew you were going to try and do the things that you've done. Yet He's saying, it can be different. Today can be day one. Today can be the first day of it being different. And that difference happens when you change the main character of your life, that it's no longer you, but it's Him. And you follow Him, and you start making decisions and building your house on the firm rock that is Jesus. And you become a wise builder so that when storms come, your house is not going to fall. So if you would like to make a decision today, if you would say, Pastor, that's me. I need to get my life right with God right now. Raise your hand right now. Let me know. Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I invite you to pray with me. We're going to pray all together. You see, the Bible describes that the way to make a decision is as simple as this. We just got to say it with our mouths. We got to believe in our hearts. We make a decision. So no one prays alone here at Focus Church, so let's pray together. Dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done, for trying to lead my life my own way. I want you in charge of my life. I believe you sent your Son to pay the price for me. I want to live for you. Help me to build a life on your rock. In Jesus' name.